slide into our message for this morning. We can stay standing for the reading of the word. We have the Oruwale sisters, Bernice and Janet.
All right, we're going to be reading from 1 Corinthians 3, verses 10 to 17. By the grace God has given me, I laid a foundation as a wise builder, and someone else is building on it. But each one should build with care. For no one can lay any foundation other than the one already laid, which is Jesus Christ. If anyone builds on this foundation using gold, silver, costly stones, wood, hay, or straw, their work will be shown for what it is, because the day will bring it to light. It will be revealed with fire, and the fire will test the quality of each person's work.
If what has been built survives, the builder will receive a reward. If it is burned up, the builder will suffer loss, but yet will be saved, even though as one escaping through the flames. Don't you know that you yourselves are God's temple and that God's Spirit dwells in your midst? If anyone destroys God's temple, God will destroy that person, for God's temple is sacred and you together are that temple.
Amen. Hallelujah. You know, those words we normally pray, but we can be seated. Those words are so powerful. Just have to give the Lord an amen. We are God's temple, God's chosen people, Christian Center. It's been a really busy week at the church, but we thank God for his faithfulness. It's good to see you, church, this morning. We've been doing our series on the life of Paul. In particular, we've been looking at Corinthians, and this morning, we're going to take it to another level. So turn to your neighbor and tell them, are you ready to go to another level? Amen, amen. Praise the Lord. You know, we got to be excited. I've been really praying into this word for this morning. And so I trust that you will receive something from the word today. So my message this morning is called Building with the Right Materials. And, you know, we see some items on the platform. We'll talk about that. But building with the right materials. Paul is using a metaphor, of course, as he describes the Corinthian church and their progress. He's telling them that the Lord is building a building. And you are God's building. In fact, in verse 9, he says, of chapter 3, verse 9, for we are co-workers in God's service. You are God's field, God's building. So you and I, we're God's building. I'm a building, you're a building. You know, together, actually, we're stones, but together we're part of the building that God is making. And so the larger context, of course, is that Paul started the Corinthian church. He was the founding apostle. He started this work, but yet he was sensible enough to realize that he wasn't the only one that the Lord was going to use. And so he understood that others will come to build on top of the foundation that he had laid. He laid the foundation, but then others were going to come along. But he had something to say about how they should build the rest of the house. We're not just going to lay the foundation and control the standards, but we're going to also understand how to build the house until it's completed. So he's admonishing them. It always begins with the foundation. Anybody ever tried to build a house? Anybody here, you've built a house or you've seen a house built from the beginning to the end? Can you just wave? So I see a couple people over there from beginning to the end. Yes, amen. All right. And so it always starts with the foundation, doesn't it? Am I right? Well, you got to prepare the ground, of course, but
yes.
Make sure it's ready, flattened, whatever level. But it starts with digging the foundation. And so in verse 10, he says, by the grace God has given me, I laid a foundation as a wise builder or as an expert builder. And later we read that Christ, of course, is this foundation. In verse 11, we can read that, for no one, chapter 3, verse 11, no one can lay any foundation other than the one already laid, which is Jesus Christ. Thank you. So Christ is a cornerstone. He is the foundation that Paul laid on, that Paul started the Corinthian church with, the bedrock. See, without the foundation, there is no building. Paul reminds them. He says, don't forget the basics. You came from Christ. You are of Christ. And that's why he talks about the message of the cross. He talks about the message of grace and the things that we've discussed. He says, if you're going to lay anything else down, don't forget that you're built on Christ. The foundation wasn't laid by Paul's abilities to speak or his renown as a Pharisee of Pharisees. He said, by the grace of God given to me, I laid the foundation as a wise builder. God gave me the wisdom to build this church. And as it was common in a few of the epistles, he would reiterate the foundational doctrines of the church. He would remind them where they came from. And then he would say, don't forget. Because these doctrines were always under attack. There was always apostles, false apostles, going through this the region, traveling like Paul did, trying to tear down the work that the Lord had built. It's not Apollos, it's not Paul. It's a foundation that was built on Christ. Not the latest fancy things you're hearing. It's old-fashioned doctrine. Christ is that doctrine, the teaching that we're building on. So we have some items here. Are you building a house? Maybe you're currently building a house. And Paul begins to talk about some materials that we need to build with as a wise builder, as an expert builder, as someone who is going to build with care. And he cautions us. But the foundation must always be on the rock. The foundation must always be level. You know what I learned as I was preparing the sermon? I learned, you know, if you're going to build, you know, the taller, you know, the skyscrapers, the taller the building, the deeper the foundation. Are we tracking along? And in fact, some of these tall skyscrapers, like the ones in maybe Dubai or so forth, they go down about 50 meters or deeper. If you're going to build a really tall house or a really sturdy house, you got to take care of the land. You got to take care of the ground. And the skyscraper, they're going to continue to dig down until they get to the bedrock. Everybody say, foundation must be solid. Now, my other favorite city is New York City. Toronto, of course. I was born in New York City, actually. So I like going to New York to visit now and then, shopping with the wife, wherever she is. And so I noticed that in New York City that, you know, they have, and I found out as well through my research, but really tall skyscrapers define New York City, but you can't just build a skyscraper anywhere in New York City. And the reason is because of the bedrock. See, because the whole thing is an island, right? So they have to dig really deep down. But there are parts of New York City where the bedrock is actually higher than other parts. And so really you're looking at downtown and more midtown, but they're not going to build skyscrapers anywhere because they're going to have to dig into the sea and all the way down. Now, that's going to be way too expensive. And so skyscrapers are really concentrated in only a couple of major parts of the city because we need to dig all the way deep down into the bedrock. And they fasten these metal bolts and dig deep down and make sure the foundation is secure so that they can begin to build the skyscraper. Because the bedrock is firm. You want to build something lasting, Paul is telling them, eternal, glorious, that will resplend God's glory. It's got to have a foundation. It begins with the foundation. See, if your foundation is not laid on Christ, and this is why we subscribe to false religions, whether it's Mormonism or Jehovah's Witness, because Christ is not the cornerstone. Christ is not the foundation. And we love them, but we understand they haven't built it on Jesus Christ being the Son of God. They built it on a few other things, and then Christ. But if the foundation is not laid on Christ, it's not going to be built up to be lasting, Paul is saying. And so as they're building, he cautions them, build with care, lay the right foundation. He says, but each one should build with care. So what comes next after this foundation we're building? As we have some items again here, and we're going to talk a little bit about it in a second. But so as I'm building my house, I dig the foundation, and I've never built a house before, but I've heard and seen. The foundation is dug. So what comes next after the foundation? Does anybody want to help me here? Those of you who've built a house. Sorry? The bricks, did you say the footings? So you've done the footings, you've built the foundation. We've got to start to... Sorry? The columns, right? You got to start to build the frame of the house. Everything is already set. Well, the floors, yes. You build the frame, the walls. You're being quiet today. But see, once you do the foundation and the footings, yes, the floors, the walls go up, everything else just sort of falls into place. The roof, so there's no rain coming in, the windows, the doors. And then you begin to do the electrical, the plumbing, and all the trimmings inside the house. But that's that's a nutshell of building a house, if I were to build one myself one day. And so Paul is saying that there's going to be several levels, level after level, building upon the foundation that I've laid on that bedrock. But we got to be careful with the kinds of materials that we're going to use. And so Paul says, look at verse 12. Let's take you to verse 12 very quickly. 1 Corinthians 3. It says, if anyone builds on this foundation using gold, silver, costly stones, wood, hay, or straw, their work will be shown for what it is, because the day will bring to light. It'll be revealed with fire, and the fire will test the quality of each person's work. So Paul is saying that there are different kinds of building materials. There's wood. Okay, we have wood here, right? There's hay. Somebody went to a lot of trouble to bring the hay in here. Okay, there's, stubble, which is like the sheaves. But then there's precious stone as well. And he begins to talk about two kinds of items, two kinds of materials that you can build. You can build with materials that we understand we need these things, but they're more perishable. Or you can build with materials that are imperishable. Like he talks about, maybe going up one more verse, verse 12, he talks about gold. He talks about precious stone, right? Costly stone, gold, silver. So he says, church, how are you building? See, in that time, in that day, if you would build a house as a peasant, you would use bricks if you had money. But if you didn't have money, you would use just straw for the entire house, and maybe some mud for the foundation and for the walls. But two kinds of categories: the precious stones and the perishable materials. How are we building? See, the precious stones are things like marble and granite. It's just stuff that is really expensive, right? Gold, which is rarely used by the common person, but it was used for decorating extravagant buildings, like the temple of God, right? Or they will gild columns and edifices with gold. These precious stones have an endearing quality. In fact, in the temple, the gold was there so that if the intense heat of the fire, it wouldn't melt, it wouldn't burn. And then you have the perishable material. You have your wood, you have your hay, you have your straw. Flimsy materials. We all know if the fire comes, it'll burn those materials. It'll vanish in smoke. So it says there are two different kinds of building materials. Which are you going to build with, Corinthians church? And so the foundation must be Christ. If the layers of the building are chosen with care, the building goes up. And look at it says in verse 13. It says, their work will be shown for what it is, because the day will bring it to light. It will be revealed with fire, and the fire will test the quality of each person's work. And if what has been built survives, the builder will receive a reward. If it is burned up, the builder will suffer loss, but yet it will be saved, even though only as one escaping through the flames. So Paul lets me know that the foundation must be bedrock solid, Christ. And he lets me know that there are different kinds of building materials. And we can talk more about that. But then he says that there is going to be an outcome. Depending on the materials you choose will depend whether you're going to get rewards at the end or whether you're going to get rebuke at the end. Rewards versus rebukes. See, fire will test the quality of each person's work. The survival is based upon the material that it was built on. See, fire is a picture in the Bible of judgment. When the fire comes, it's judgment, where God is just going to judge at the end. There's a day coming, the day of the Lord. By the same word, 2 Peter 3:7, the present heavens and earth are reserved for fire, being kept for the day of judgment and destruction of the ungodly. But see, fire doesn't just destroy, but fire also refines. Malachi 3:2 says, but who can endure the day of his coming? And who can stand when he appears? For he's like a refiner's fire and like fuller's soap. That's Malachi 3:2. The first scripture was 2 Peter 3:7. So this is seeming to say that there's a day and a time for judgment, where the fire shall try every man's work. As fire tries metals and finds and separates whatever dross is mixed with that metal, and only the pure, valuable metal stays. Everything else burns away. Look at verse 14. He says, 1 Corinthians 3, verse 14, says, some will be rewarded. If what has been built survives, the builder will receive a reward. The builder here is the worker, the apostle, the pastor who has labored over the church, over you. And he says, if they've done a really good job, if they've built with the right kind of materials, then the end will show. See, the layer that they've put on, the foundation, whatever item they've put on that layer, upon that foundation, if it's the right doctrine, if they have the right heart, if they've sort of discipled you as they should, then there will be a reward for that builder. Some will be judged, though. Verse 15. Rewards for some leaders. But then if it is burned up, the builder will suffer loss, but yet will be saved, even though only as one. So there's an implication for us as leaders, us as pastors and leaders of the church, that we need to build and we need to disciple, we need to raise up the church with the right kinds of material, Paul was saying. But then there's also an implication for the individual member. Similarly, in several scriptures, he shows us that you and I individually face the same kind of testing by fire, where if whatever you've been built up, whatever you've sort of built on the foundation of Christ, will be tested by fire. Look at 2 Corinthians 5:10. I'm going to give us two verses. 2 Corinthians 5:10. Just bring that up. It says, There it is. It says, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each of us may receive what is due us for the things done while in the body, whether good or bad. So who's this for, church? It's for all of us, right? It says all of us are going to appear. So the context here is pertaining to Paul's discussion with the Corinthians on the glory of Christ's salvation. It says, when we die, we have to give an account. Yes, death is, yes, to be with Christ is better, but there has to be an account given for how we lived our lives. The same idea is in Romans 14:10. It says, you then, you can turn to that, why do you judge your brother or sister, or why do you treat them with contempt? For we will all stand before God's judgment seat. See, Paul so often, when he teaches biblical truths, he does it in the context of a conversation. So he's telling them, I need you to love one another. But by the way, I need you to also understand that you will be judged as you judge one another. And then he talks about the judgment seat of Christ. The judgment seat of Christ is also known as the Bema, the Bema seat of Christ. For judgment seat in Greek is Bema. You might have heard that or not. But putting this together, he's telling us that there is going to be a day of judgment for Christians. This is not the same as judgment for unbelievers. But there is a judgment of believers where you're not judged unto damnation and condemnation, but you're judged based on the works that you have built up, on how you have lived in this earth. Called to give an account. Paul would have envisioned the seat of judicial authority in Rome as he spoke of the heavenly judgment seat, the Bema judgment. And so there's going to be judgment for us. And as we approach him on that day, we're going to be either rewarded or rebuked. We'll be rewarded or chastised for how we lived our lives. Some of us are going to receive crowns. You see that in Revelation 2, verse 10. He talks about crowns. It says, do not fear what you're about to suffer. Behold, the day is about to throw some of you, the devil is about to throw some of you into prison that you may be tested. And for 10 days you will have tribulation. Be faithful unto death, and I will give you a crown of life. The scriptures talks about five crowns. There's this crowns of righteousness, there's crowns of glory, there's crowns of rejoicing, there's imperishable crowns, there's crowns of life. Crowns could also be symbolic of just what God will give us as rewards. Is it a literal crown? I think so. But you could think of it as God is saying, well done, good and faithful servant. Here is a crown because of how you've lived your life on earth. But then the other implication is that there's going to be rebuke. There's going to be some tears. Did you know that there's going to be tears in heaven? But the Bible tells me, Revelation 21, verse 4, it says, he will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. So if he were to wipe away tears, that means there were tears to begin with. See, there'll be tears in heaven, but he will wipe away our tears. This tears might be because as he judges us, we realize that there are things that are going to burn away. There's some works that are not going to stand. Regrets, pains, but by his grace, he wipes the tears away. And so just like the teachers in Corinth would have had to stand to give account to what they taught, the saints in Corinth will also have to give account of what they did, such as when that fire is applied. The fire of judgment. The fire of accountability. A couple of quick things I want to give us before I conclude. First is that it matters. It matters what your diet is. It matters what you're eating. Okay? This is about, of course, spiritual food. They say you are what you eat. Don't they say that, church? They say you are what you eat, right? If you eat a lot of vegetables, well, you're very healthy, right? Are you growing up in Christ? We talked about that last week. Are you being fed the diet you need? Are you taking responsibility for your own spiritual growth? Can't just always depend on others. Yes, we need to teach as the Lord leads, but also you need to take control of your spiritual growth so that when the testing comes, you will stand. See, Paul feared that the Corinthians wouldn't stand. He feared, and that's why he wrote to them. He says, I need you to grow up in Christ. This is really about you making it. You could stay a baby, but when the trials come, babies can't stand trials. When the trial comes, what you have on the inside of you is what comes out. See, the fire isn't just when we meet God and there's a judgment. But there's also testing on earth. There's also situations that he puts us through. And what is in us comes out every time. See, what you practice is what you will do in times of crisis. I'm reminded of Coach John Wooden, and he was a legendary college basketball coach in the States, and he's now passed. But he probably won the most consecutive, or actually most number of NCAA championships, more than any other college coach in history. And for him, he said every day matters. Talking about what diet you eat, on how you prepare for life. He says, you can never get back what you missed today. So in telling his players, you can't miss practice. If you miss practice, you can never make up for what you've missed today because tomorrow is a new day. He says, give everything you got all the time. When opportunity comes, he says, it's too late to prepare. And I say, when adversity comes, it's too late to prepare. See, it matters what diet you eat. It matters how you're building yourself up. It matters how you're preparing yourself up. Amen. So it matters what we eat. As we say, Lord, I know I'm going to be tested. Lord, I want to be ready. I want my works to, even though they're burned, to be lasting gold, silver, precious stones. The second thing is it matters how you live. So not just what we would read or what we would, you know, meditate on or that nice word that was taught or, but it also matters how we live. See, there's a false grace doctrine that says we're saved and we can do anything we want. That I can live anyhow, but I question that. Are you saying that you can live anyhow? Yes, I'm a believer. Yes, I'm saved by his grace. But are you saying that you can live anyhow and then when you get to heaven, you will have the same rewards as those who have lived faithfully and those who have persevered and those who have, just sacrificed for God? But the Lord says that there is accountability. Maybe on earth, and I say no, it's not the same because of crowns, because of the rewards, because of the bema seat of judgment. See, that Christian who has been faithfully restraining themselves, faithfully in seeking God, even though it's hard on earth, fearful of God when it comes to their conversation, they fear God in their lifestyle, they fear God in their entertainment choices. God is watching. God is watching. And this is not a doctrine about works, no. But God says that, I want you to build something that will last. See, I think heaven will be the great equalizer. When we get to heaven, then we will see what we've built. Then we will see if what we, you know, it's amazing what we spend so much time on things that have no eternal value. And I do, and you do. So much time being busy, so much time worrying, so much time just going here and going there. But the Lord says, I want you to really focus on the things that are of eternal value. Of course, we have to live in this world. But the things that will last are spiritual things. So it matters what diet you eat, and it matters how you live. So church, he's coming back. So this message today is maybe a reminder, maybe it's something that you know, but I believe it's a timely reminder that he is coming back, church, and we have to build right. You know, yesterday I was at a funeral, and I got to do a funeral for a dear lady who's passed on. And, you know, as I challenged them, as I encouraged them, I was reminded, and I reminded the saints as well, I don't know when you're going to die, but this dear saint has moved on, and she's with Jesus right now. But one day you are going to be with Jesus and I'm going to be with Jesus. Are we prepared to meet our Maker? Are we prepared? Will our work stand? Are we laying a foundation of hay that, you know, as we carry this thing here, it was just all over the place. Are my works like hay and straw? And by the time we die, nobody will remember us because we haven't built for eternity. You know, wood is okay, right? But it's also going to burn. It's nice to lay inside of the house and to do the trimmings and all that. But really, we can't have the outside be built of wood. It's going to burn. Which kind of foundation are we laying? Which kind of materials are we using to build our house? And I talked about Job in that funeral service. And they called it a celebration of life, which was quite appropriate. And a celebration of life. And I read this verse. I'm going to read it today. Job chapter 19, verse 25. Can have the team come up. See, Job faced severe trials. Job had lots of difficulties. See, this happened to Job. This whole sermon today, this happened to Job, where things in his life got stripped and got removed away. I mean, he didn't know that he was going to have a bad day. Somebody says, well, that's Old Testament. Well, I say, the Bible says he was righteous. Job was a righteous person. And the Bible says you and I are righteous people. And so this could happen to any one of us. And in that funeral, I said, you know what? We don't know when death will come. But be certain that there's going to be a time you meet your Maker, and you have to be ready. Job didn't know he was going to have a difficult week. But see, he had built some things on Christ. And even though everything was stripped away, even though he lost his loved ones, and even though he lost even his friends, and his wife said, curse God and die. My God, why are you holding on to your conviction? But Job knew that he was going to meet his Maker. He knew that he was building to last. He knew that my Redeemer, there it is, lives. And that in the end, he will stand on the earth. And after my skin has been destroyed, yet in my flesh, I will see God. So that's what it's about, friends. It's about seeing God. And I may not have done the greatest job in communicating this, but it's about seeing our Maker. One day we're going to see Him. Job says, all this stuff doesn't matter. I'm going to focus on eternity. Yes, I'm going to love my child and my wife, and I'm going to work, but I'm also just going to spend time with my God. I'm going to forget all the distractions and the ambition and the drive for the pursuit of the upward ladder and all the stuff that the world is going after. You know, God bless them. If they want to promote me like Daniel, let them make me the prime minister, of Babylon and Persia. That's okay. But my eye is going to be on Jesus. And as my eyes on Jesus, as I'm building for Him, then things, whatever comes, it's for His glory. Whatever goes, it's for His glory too. And He says, and after my skin has been destroyed, yet in my flesh, I will see God. I myself will see Him. With my own eyes, verse 27, I myself will see Him, and with my own eyes, I and not another, how my heart yearns within me. Be careful how you build. Christian Center, church, all of us, be careful how we build. You and I individually, be careful how we build. He loves us. This is not a message of condemnation. This is just a message of, let's do it, church. Let's buckle down. Let's get over those things that are just spiritual baggage. Let's strip ourselves of those encumbrances and let's run the race, because he's coming soon. This is a message of encouragement. This is a message of focus. Paul says, I run as one, not running aimlessly. He's not, you know, I box as one, not boxing the air. But I focus my punches. I run for the prize set before me, because I have a goal ahead of me. Let's build the right way. Let's build with the right materials. Precious stones, gold, silver. Not wood, not hay, not stubble. Heaven is real. Heaven is for real. Are you ready to meet your maker? One day you will. Will your works last when you meet him? Let us pray. Amen.